Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for serving this great country. Welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. Always love saying that, and I'm your host. If you watch this in the past, and if you haven't, there's something wrong with it, you may have noticed that we're coming to you from a brand new studio this year. We got a brand new look, just like I do. I got a brand new shirt on, and for a brand new season, we're looking forward to talking with some incredible guests. This is all possible because of our generous support of our presenting sponsors. I personally want to thank Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as I always say, we love them too. We have a great show for you. In fact, we have a wonderful show for you today. We're focusing on the military families who have special needs, and I'm so excited to introduce Michelle Norman, Executive Director and Founder of Partners in Promise. Welcome. So good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, sir. It is a pleasure to be here.
It is. Well, I hope it's a pleasure. I'm just so excited just having you on the show here with you. Before we jump into all that's going on with Partners in Promise, I want to make sure I got that. Would you tell us, a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. And again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be here on Your Next Mission. Big fan of yours. Thank you again for your service.
All right, that's what I'm talking years. About.
Woo! And, also for your continued advocacy for our veteran and military families. As we know that this is a very challenging lifestyle to be in the military, and it is even more complicated if you have children with special needs. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a Navy spouse, no jokes.
All right, I'm Army, but don't worry about that.
For over 25 years, we're based here in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, and I have two children, an 18-year-old and a 13-year-old, and my daughter has multiple disabilities, and so it's been a really interesting, we love this military adventure, we've lived all over the world and Japan, it's been a fantastic adventure, but it has its challenges, when you have children in general. And it really kind of pushed me to be more of an advocate for our families. And I would say even a reluctant advocate, because we actually have a new blog that came out by Melissa Flynn. She's an Army spouse. And, I'm an engineer, so I would never have guessed that I would be in this position to really be advocating for exceptional military families until my daughter came around. And so you're thrust into this world of learning about medical and education and just trying to figure out all the systems and how they work together. So I guess overall, you can say I'm just a military family advocate for our exceptional military families. And I'm excited to tell you a little bit more about what we do.
All right. Hey, Michelle, how was Partners in Promise founded? And can you tell us a little bit about the organization's mission?
So absolutely. My daughter really was the inspiration for the founding of Partners in Promise. So as she was born very early, multiple disabilities of being a premature baby. And we did pretty good actually in those younger years of trying to navigate TRICARE and every time we moved. But as she got older, it was a little bit more complicated, particularly when it became to her education. I think there's just this assumption that all the schools are going to do the great best thing that they're supposed to do. And I was naive as a young spouse. I had a lot of other things going on, lots of deployments. And so we're just barely hanging on, to be honest. So we did the best we could, but our last PCS, change of station, here to the Virginia Beach area, was a really hard one for us. And of course, my husband was deployed, getting ready to geo batch, which is something that a lot of families do when they have kids with special needs, as they stay behind as their spouse goes and either deploys or does another tour somewhere else. And things were just not going well in our school. There's a lot of problems with her individualized education program, which we call an IEP. And I felt very alone. I knew that there was something not going well at her school. I could see her regressing, tried to work together as a team, but I really needed someone there with me. So I did hire an advocate thinking that this might be helpful to have someone at the table to kind of ensure that I'm looking at the data correctly, that I'm understanding the law. You know, this is not anything that I would know about beforehand. And it got to the point where I actually needed an attorney. And that turned into a 6-year legal battle for my daughter to make sure that she had an appropriate education. 6 years. Wow. That included 2 due process trials,
yeah,
1 federal court appeal, and we won everything. And so I think to myself, like, I thought I was alone, and how, you know, I could barely do this as an officer family. How can our enlisted families be able to fight the fight that's necessary for their children and their education? And so I was able to meet other spouses. In 2020, I was able to testify in front of the House Armed Services Committee about the EFMP program. I shared our story that focused on special education. I advocated for attorneys for all service branches to have, so that families can go somewhere for help, because I didn't have that. I didn't have any resources. And realizing we weren't alone, we were able to get that service-wide, that all installations have to have someone who specializes in special education. So we joined, we found our tribe, and realized that, you know, there's more that we can do as an organization. We can elevate these voices of these families who, you know, felt alone, felt overstressed, burdened to really be able to advocate, but then also look at some top-level solutions. And so that's really what we do, is we elevate those voices, but we're problem solvers. And I think that's where my engineering background came in. It's, we're not here to whine, because we love our, you know, our spouses are doing. We love serving this country, but there's got to be ways to make this a little easier on the families and ensure that our kids have the same education as our civilian counterparts. And that's really all we're asking for. So how can we fix policy and fix things at the local, state, and federal level to make sure that they have an appropriate education as well?
Yeah, you know, I think I told you about my story. I mean, you know, I have an older son that had pneumococcus meningitis. Left him temporarily blind, temporarily deaf, 20 to 30 convulsions a day. And when I think about that, I think about the fact that really what happened to me is all the stress that's placed on my spouse. And even during that period of time, I still deployed and did all the things I had to do. So families that have children with special needs, it's really tough. It's hard to, sometimes it's hard to get that assistance. But you got to fight just like you did. And I tried to fight as much as I could, but I think my wife, and I think military spouses like yourself, really, you know, said, hey, I'm required to have this. I'm going to get this, and you're going to give it to me. And so she got everything squared away. So he went to multiple schools, did multiple things, and he's a great young man. There's no question about that. Well, hey, tell me, what makes your organization different than anybody else? There's differences here?
I do think so. I think we're storytellers, I think, first and foremost. You know, I think, again, as the military spouses who are caregivers, basically, like you said, you have to go fight the wars. Yeah. You know, my husband was in combat operations, you know, off the Arabian Sea. He could not go to IEP meetings with me. He was not really able to help. And so it really becomes a military readiness and detention issue, you know, when it comes right down to it. I remember there were times where I wasn't telling him what was happening here back home, because he was flying at night, landing on a carrier, no moon. And so, do you think I'm really going to tell him anything when he's in that type of, like, you know, critical but dangerous operations? No. Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. So we're storytellers, you know, because I think it's so hard when you're drowning all the time in caregiving and handling medical and educational and therapies. They really didn't have a voice. And so we really do work with our military spouse and families to be able to tell their stories so that other folks know that they're not alone. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of webinars and blogs, articles, kind of just making sure that people feel like someone else has been in their shoes. You know, there have been other advocates have done fantastic work in this space. And, you know, I think that's important that we have that boots on the ground experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes you might have different organizations that they're fantastic in this space, but maybe they're not in it anymore. And things change. Right now we're in the middle of EFMP standardization that's happening across all the services, so that hopefully one Army person is going to be able to enroll in EFMP the same way as a Navy person, mm-hmm. or one person is going to receive respite care like the other one. I think that's really important to know that, you know, we are all in this together. but how do we make change at that policy level? And so the problem solving is where we come in. We don't want to whine again. We want to like look at what these stories come in, and how do we leverage that to make change for our families to make this easier?
I really want to tell you two things. One is that I remember one time my wife had an accident. I was talking about military spouses. She had an accident. So I call her on the phone. I says, Gloria, how you doing? I said, oh, no, everything's fine. And didn't say anything about it.
Yep.
I said, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. So then it must be like an hour later, my commander called me, say, hey, I was a first sergeant at the time. Said, hey, first sergeant, how's your wife doing? I said, well, I guess she's doing fine. I just talked to her. She didn't tell you? I said, no, she didn't tell me. And so what do you mean? She said, well, she had a wreck. And actually what happened, she had a wreck and somebody stopped the helper and they got hit by a car. So it was a lot of poof. So I call her back up and I says, hey, Glory, why didn't you tell me about this? She says, well, I didn't want to bother you, you know. The other thing I'll tell you is when I was the Sergeant Major of the Army, that's the first time that I ever went on the, I don't think I ever went on the exceptional family member, but I started speaking more about exceptional family members. And I think guys and yourself out there giving the word, talking about the things that are going on is so important. And we need to do that. And
absolutely.
The other thing is, I think because you don't walk in my shoes, you don't fully understand sometimes. And you got to walk in my shoes, boots or flip flops or whatever you want to wear, but you got to see exactly what's going on. We're talking with Michelle Norman, Executive Director of Founder of Partners in Promise, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack Uptelly, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us and click on that subscribe button below. Michelle, we want to continue on the discussion. Can you talk about DOD's Exceptional Family Member Program?
Absolutely. And I want to go back to the point that you made about enrolling in the EFMP program. It's a DOD program, and it's really anyone who has a specialized medical or educational concern, they have to. It's required now to enroll in this program, the EFMP program. However, we know there's a stigma associated with it. You know, a lot of families are still very concerned that being enrolled in EFMP will limit, you know, them from going overseas or take somehow affecting their career progression. And we find that, you know, there was a great study that the Marine Corps did back in the late 2008, 2009 that didn't show really any major problems with career progression. In fact, we found that Marine Corps families stayed in longer in service, so that because they were receiving the right support and the resources that they needed. And so I think we need to really get more folks, you know, and leaders like yourself to say, hey, I'm a part of that EFMP program. And you know what? Yes, this is important because it's giving what our family members need. You don't want to move to Europe and not get the medical care that you need for your child. It really is something that's there to help. So the DOD program, EFMP, does three things, right? They do identification enrollment into the program. They do assignment coordination to ensure that wherever this family is moving has that correct, you know, community and resources available. Make sure there's not lengthy wait lists, you know, for certain types of specialized medical treatments. And then there's also family support services. And those are usually done like at the installation level. You know, your ACS, your, you know, Navy Fleet and Family Service Centers, those are the places where you can go and get more localized information from EFMP. And so really those three components make it up. But we have found through our surveys back from 2020, you know, that stigma was really high. And so I think the more we talk about this, the more that, you know, we realize that the standardization is going to help everybody. That way it's more transparent on why people are being enrolled, how to disenroll. You know, it could be that maybe someone has a temporary situation, but for instance, mental health care, that's a really big one right now. There's a lot of spouses who occasionally may need some support, you know, go see a counselor for 6 months, but there are some triggers that they may not be aware of. Like, okay, if you go past, you know, a certain amount, then you're automatically enrolled at EFMP. We need to make sure there's a lot of transparency about how this program works and how it can really be helpful for your family. So I think that, education, I'll kind of throw that one in there. EFMP really only looked at the medical side. And so it wasn't really until, you know, I think we started a few years ago talking about the education piece. Because again, there's this assumption that you know, everywhere you go, schools can meet the unique needs of our families, but that's not always the case. And so I think the fact that we're putting eyes on special education, we're getting these legal supports to help families navigate a very complex law. The Individuals with Disabilities Education Act is very nuanced, and you really need to know what all the timelines are. You know, we found that many times when we PCS, there is just a lot of wait time before our families receive the services and their IEPs. And so it really is nice that we're finally putting a spotlight on special education to ensure our families are getting the education that they need.
Yeah, you know, you may be thinking, one is that when I was a young soldier and my son had his disability, I didn't want to tell anybody about it. You know, I may have told close friends about it, about stuff, because I always thought it would affect my promotion. I was concerned about promotion and what was going on. And I guess maybe I told my commander at first on about it, but I never wanted to, anybody. I wanted to make sure I was at time on work. I mean, at work on time, and I did all those kind of things. And so when it came to doctor's appointments and all those additional things that go along with a child that has special needs, I didn't, you know, my wife did all that stuff. She took care of everything. And so it was really tough. And the other thing you made me think about as you was talking, what about the family when you come back, not just the Army, but all services, you know, but the Army, probably Marine Corps too, that really are war fighters on the ground. When they come back, they have post-traumatic stress and TBI, and then they move back into that family. And just, you know, when you go through those issues and then you have these special needs issues and stuff with your child, and it just, it really is really tough for a lot of people. And so I'm me personally, I'll do whatever I can to help you. There's no question about that. But I wish there was a better way to inform, just what you just said a few minutes ago, senior leaders to come out and talk a lot more about, hey, this is what it is, and this is what we're doing. Here's the programs that we have. But it's really funny sometimes that people just, they don't talk much about it, I guess. That's, if I can say that. So.
Yeah, absolutely true, sir. You know, I will say that General C.Q. Brown, Chief of Staff of the Air Force, is doing a fantastic job about talking about their personal experience with EFMP. And so when you have more leaders like himself and his wife, Shireen, those folks who are in those positions can really influence others to take a part of the program. I always tell my husband too, when he talks to his sailors, you know, be very open. Like, we are part of the EFMP program. You have any questions, you know, he'll bring people into his office and talk about how, you know, making sure, number one, that they're enrolled if they need to be. But if they have any questions, just to kind of ask someone who is at a position, has progress in their career, and that it is possible. So I really appreciate that folks are speaking up about it.
Yeah. You know, the with people that have special needs children go through highs and lows. They get, you know, depressed about stuff because things just aren't working out. But I remember one time I was really depressed about maybe about something that Brian was going through or my family was going through about taking care of him. And this person says something to me. Hopefully I don't cry when I tell you this, but he comes to me and he pat me on the back and he says, special people have special children.
Oh, man. True.
Oh, it is true.
It is true. I mean, I am one of those folks that believe that, you know, we're all picked for a particular path in this world, you know?
Absolutely.
And I can think back to, like, growing up, I had no experience personally with any children with special needs growing up. And so there's so much that I've learned in my own personal growth. You know, again, the reluctant advocate. I was thinking, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna continue working as an engineer throughout your entire career.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't touched engineering in like 18 years. And so it's over, it's done. Like, I'm never going on this path that I envisioned. And that's okay. You know, it has been the most fulfilling and wonderful experience of my life. And it's just a joy to be a mom to my children and to see them grow in their own way. But it wasn't what I expected. So I guess maybe it's managing the expectations and just knowing that we're here for a reason and you're selected for a reason.
There you go. Well, you know, life goes like this, ups and downs, ups and goes.
Yes.
Also. let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're watching your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Michelle Norman, Executive Director and Founder of Partners in Promise. And I can't tell you, first I'm going to tell you right now, I've enjoyed talking to her so much, and I can't wait to ask her a few more questions. But I want all of our veterans to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition out of the military. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. I'll actually reach out to you. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Michelle, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it, you know, as much as I have. I just have really just have a couple of more questions. And I'm going to make sure I get this right here. I love your motto, we love stories, but data completes us. Can you explain what that means?
Yes. So I think we talk a little bit about how we're storytellers. But really, when it comes to policy change or any change, you need the data. And so when we started talking early on as an organization, we were going to, you know, our congressional folks up on the Hill, you know, it's great to share our stories, but they're like, where's the data? And so we looked around in this space and there was really not a lot of data. We're very underserved, underrepresented, the exceptional military families. And so we're like, well, you know, I guess we're going to have to find the data. You know, I think this is where we're going to step in and fill this gap there. And so that's what we did. We started very basic in 2020. It was like a Google form and it was all qualitative answers. Like, are you having any issues? And so we're like, okay, I think we, you know, struck a nerve here because we got so many folks that had stories to share. And then the following years, 2 years later, it got better. We brought on a fantastic, our COO and lead researcher, Jennifer Barnhill. We work with the folks initially at North Carolina, and now with The Ohio State University, we really started to refine our survey instrument. And like, now we need to figure out the quantitative data. You know, where are the gaps of knowledge? Where are the issues such as the stigma? Are we having problems every time we PCS? You know, because we are a highly mobile population, like we're moving every 2 to 3 years. And you're moving with this individualized education program each time. Yeah. You know, that's not something that is normal for our civilian community. And it's, you know, it's probably a little bit easier for the kids in gen ed, but when you're in special ed, you know, there's a lot of times you even regress over the summer. And so we really wanted to kind of put a, just kind of dig a little deeper, like where can we help? You know, where are these transition issues? And that's kind of what we did with our last survey. And we'll talk a little bit more about the new one, but that's the data that our folks, you know, in DOD, our leadership want to see. They want to see where they can help, and we need to give it to them to be able to make any progress with this EFMP program.
You know, all the time I was in the military, I never filled out a survey about exceptional family members. And it really, yeah. It's mind boggling because I always look at this stuff and say, you got all these surveys, you're getting all this stuff. Well, who are you talking to? You know, that's the first problem you have because you're not talking to the right people about, you know, really what's going on. And the other thing about surveys, sometimes I hope I'm not right. Sometimes I think people don't understand the importance of the survey. And so we should get a little more justification. You know, this is to help you. It's not to, you know, it's to help people that have these kind of issues. So help us out with the surveys. That's, and I just, I probably get real deep into these surveys, but I wish we would do a better job and people would respond, especially younger adults. I think younger adults, you know, there's a lot of young people in the military, no question about that. But we have younger adults that see those surveys that don't particularly understand the importance. And I think the other thing about that, too, is I think sometimes you're a little apprehensive. You know, if I put my name down there, you're gonna be able to target me. But maybe these surveys, I'm sure nowadays, they don't put names on
them. Completely anonymous. Yeah. Absolutely. It's completely anonymous.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, it is. But I love your point, though, sir. You have to tell them, like, I can point back to, like, we brought up, you know, legal issues. Now we have special attorneys. That's the change we want to see for our families. You know, and the standardization across the board will also, how can we help drive those and make sure they're not pilot programs, but they actually stick around for a while. But sometimes we get over surveyed, don't you think, sir? At times, it's like, oh, here's another survey, another survey. I know that the EFMP program has sent out surveys. I think that NDAA says they have to send them at least once every 3 years. Mm-hmm. But what I notice a lot of times, the questions are, well, what is your satisfaction with the EFMP program? It's not really asking, well, what are your challenges? Where can we help you? Yeah. It was more of like, how happy are you with the services that you're getting? So you're not going to get a lot of fantastic feedback that way on how to get better. You know, I think so. That's why we craft our survey just to where we can, you know, really make sure we get some good data points to see, you know, how we can help support better.
Well, the other thing too is that when you're doing the survey, sometimes you get surveys at a very senior level. Of people that don't even have somebody that has an exceptional family member child, if that makes sense. The other thing is, I'd learned this years ago. I was going to build a club in a unit. We had problems drinking and driving and stuff. So I went down and talked to soldiers. Said, "Hey, why are you doing these kind of things?" They said, "Well, I have to drive too far to go to clubs in Louisville, Kentucky, I think it was." So I said, "I'm going to build you a club." So I actually built a club, a lounge. I call it Tilly's. I call it Proud Legion's Lounge. Should have called it Tilly's Lounge, but we called it Proud Legion's Lounge. But what that did is they told me how to do it. They said, "Well, we want a pool table. We want a soccer. You know, whatever the heck they want." I said, "Okay, you got it." Of course, I made the engineer build it for the unit. Which is really good there. So
but I bet they love doing it.
But your point about surveys is the fact that. You know, sometimes we have people filling out surveys that don't know what the issues are and they don't know what the question should be. And so how do we get a better connection with those? So, you know, that's good. Your annual military education survey is beginning at September 6th, I think it is, and continues on until October 5th. What are the main questions you're hoping to answer this year? Now, that's a chance for you guys. You made your own survey, I guess. Go ahead.
We do. And we're so excited. In the past, we really only focused on our military families in the EFMP program or had special ed because, you know, not all of them are enrolled in EFMP. So this year, we have two fantastic research questions. One is we really want to look at what student outcomes, we want to understand what the student outcomes are of from a parent's point of view. And why is that important, what a student outcome is? It could be that, in my case, I want my daughter to graduate with a standard diploma.
Yeah.
That's me, you know, standard diploma that sets you up to be employable in this world. That is my outcome that I want for my child, but it could be different. It could be that, you know, maybe you have a child with Down syndrome and you want your child to be mainstreamed in a general education classroom. That could be your student outcome, is that they are surrounded by their peers and not segregated somewhere else. It could be that also your child has social emotional goals that you have set for them. So we're going to seek, you know, what are these student outcomes for all of these families and how are they being met through their individualized education programs as they move from base to base, installation. So that's one of them. We're also expanding the survey this year for the first time ever to those who serve our families, the providers, the educators, the administrators, those in the EFMP program leadership positions, the SLOs, the school liaison officers, what is their experience like? How can we understand, are there gaps for training? Is maybe the position description saying one thing, but they're doing another thing? You know, is there a place where, you know, maybe they need to increase their budget to reduce their caseload? You know, we're hoping to seek their experiences and understand them so that we can, again, work on solutions so that it will better support our families. And so we're hoping that this is going to really, we do everything through snowball distribution, which most MSOs and VSOs in the space use for surveys. And so we think that this is really going to expand our reach because now we're asking people to ask their teachers to fill it out. So how can we help? You know, it's again with that survey. We want to help you. So take the survey, right? So that we can figure out where those gaps are and how can we fill it and how can we problem solve together to make, you know, our kids be able to have that education that they deserve.
Well, you already answered two of my questions I had for you. Well, let me ask you one question, though. Do you, I know you're active duty, your husband's active duty. So do you connect with the veteran community of about sexual family members?
So we do. First of all, a lot of veteran families do reach us through our website, through Messenger. I love that. A lot of them do ask questions about EFMP and whether they can still access EFMP services. And, you know, that really is base dependent. Some bases, well, if you can, you still have an ID card, you can still go into the base and access that local family support services that are available. Sometimes you can't. It really depends. If they're like got a huge caseload, they'll be like, okay, sorry, you know, my priority is active duty. And I totally understand that. But what I have found, it seems like there is a gap. Like once you exit active duty, for some reason, it seems like a lot of VSOs think, oh, you know, they don't have a kid with special needs anymore. And that's not the case. You know, it may be that their children are growing. I know that my daughter just turned 18, so she's transitioning. And there's a lot of things you have to do to set them up for success to be independent. You know, you have to look into SSI, Medicaid waivers, because we move around so much, you're not able to access that really because of the wait list in each state that you're in. You know, power of attorneys or perhaps guardianship, depending on the level of need of that child. These are things that don't go away. And so we're hopeful to, you know, also partner more with our community folks to be able to provide that information and set them on a road to success. We are updating our website to provide some of these critical resources that we think people need. And I think the survey will also tell us, ooh, here's some information that we need to start providing to our families. We don't do a lot of case management. We, you know, again, all military spouses with kids with special needs run Partners in Promise. So we don't have the bandwidth to do a lot of case management, but we do get people back on their feet in the direction that they need to get to. But yes, if you know of other VSOs who would love to work with us, so that we can make sure that those families still have that continuity of care and know where to go, we're happy to support with that.
Yeah, I'd give you a suggestion. One of the things you ought to do on your board is make sure you have some veterans on there. Maybe
absolutely,
not active duty to assist you a little bit. The other thing, you made me think of something again. Every time you talk, I went through the SSI and the medical care and all that other stuff. But one of the things that just irritated me, I don't know if the Navy has to do it, but on the Army side of the house, every 4 years I got to get my son reissued his ID card. Which absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. I went to some pretty senior levels in the Army and it said, you know, why do we have to do that? Because his disability is not going to change. So why do I have to change this? Doesn't make any sense. And well, they said, well, you know, they're taking care of me. I did it. They jumped right on and took care of it. But I understand, you know, a sergeant first class or somebody else that doesn't have the kind of contacts maybe I have, they wouldn't get that kind of assistance. And I know that they'd have to go through this gauntlet, maybe take them 6 months or 90 days to get it done. So it's a really a foolish decision, and I'm not going to stop complaining about it. I'm going to get them to fix it one day, but I always tell people if you don't push it a little bit, you just accepted a new standard. That's a standard for everybody. Can you tell us what type of resources, you may have already answered, but can you tell us what type of resources you'll have provided to exceptional family members? I think you just answered that question for you a minute ago. But
yes, sir.
Is there any additional things?
Yes, there is. There's a lot. I would say COVID, you know, was kind of like a silver lining for our organization. You know, we were all virtual to begin with, but it really amplified a lot of like the issues out there that were already there for kids mm-hmm. with special needs. And so mm-hmm. that really accelerated the resources that we provided. So one of the things that we did that year was Trust Your Gut series. It's a webinar series that really helps families on this journey of determining, does my child have a challenge that we need to maybe have special ed? So it really starts from like, you know, your gut feelings of like, okay, there's an issue with reading, or, you know, my child seems to have a lot of energy. you know, we do have someone on ADHD and autism and dyslexia that have spoken to us on these Trust Your Gut series. And it's just a really great, phenomenal resource that we have on our website. We also have lots of checklists that came out of COVID. You know, here's some ways to document what your child is receiving and what their child is not receiving, so that in the end, you can go back to your IEP team and say, hey, we missed, you know, 100 hours of speech therapy. You know, we need compensatory services. And so those are the type of things that we have all on our website. We also, you know, have, you know, any information about special education law that is easy to navigate, we put that there as well. And so we're just excited, again, that that survey is going to tell us more of what we need to provide for our families, but we want to be that go-to resource to make sure that they know, regardless of what service branch they're in, where to go for that information. And so it's a good thing. And of course, we're at EFMP Resource Fairs. Hopefully we'll join you very soon at AUSA. We're trying to get our name out there to make sure that families even know that we exist. And so we appreciate the those opportunities.
Yeah, I tell you, sports, you know, exceptional family kids that learn to do soccer, bowling, tennis, all of those are all the things that my son gets involved. And my wife takes him to all that stuff. The other thing is on those kind of programs, they always need some kind of sponsorship. And when they cut programs, I tell you, when they cut programs, they start getting time. Those are the kind of programs they cut to, which is really, really sad. So
it is.
Down in my community, I try to assist as much as I can with, I'm a tennis coach. I'm not very good, I don't think, but I'm a tennis coach and I sponsor a couple of things. So it's, you know, I do my part. So I do as much as I can. You know, first of all, let me say, you're an exceptional person, and I really enjoyed talking to you this morning or just today, but you're just a great person that that's doing so much to help so many. That a lot of times, you know, people don't pat you on the back. So let me, I'm sure I'm not the first one. Let me say congratulations. Thank you for what you're doing. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience? Any things you want to, you know, sort of throw out there? Say, I know you got the website, phone number, something. If they want to donate, you know, get on them.
That's a great, all of those, all three. I guess the first thing, I think the first thing for us is, you know, first, thank you for having us here today. Take our survey, share our survey, because that's what we need. We need those numbers, you know, of this very specialized population. So I think that's the biggest thing. Go to thepromiseact.org. Again, we're all military spouses. We're all volunteer. If someone feels like they believe in our mission, we would love sponsorship, you know, or any donations. You can do that at our website as well, because this is really something we hope to sustain. It's not just a one or done. You know, we're small, we're stealthy. But really, I want to make sure my volunteers feel like, you know, they are appreciated for the work that they're doing, because they're balancing it all, you know, taking care of children with special needs and also, you know, providing for our website. But just, again, for the families out there that have children with special needs, I think the important thing is you're not alone, you know, in this world. That's so, so important, you know, and I think you touched upon it. Your wife did a lot when you were gone. But sometimes, you know, I remember going to a squadron function and all the spouses were around and their kids were doing all the things. And my daughter was much older. She was, we were in the play area or whatever. And I was so excited because she just started to turn over. And I think she was like two, you know, and other kids were walking around and, you know, it's just, there was such a disconnect that other families didn't know. So ask questions, you know, I would say for the general public, if you know someone who has a child with special needs, don't be afraid to ask, be involved. They want that friendship. They want the compassion of someone who cares. That really is so important, is those connections in this military community, regardless if you have a child with special needs or not, and know that they are caregivers. They're under a lot of stress, but just a kind word, you know, to say, hey, it's going to be okay. If you need anything, let me know. So I just say, you know, build this community so we can take care of each other and strengthen that military readiness and keep these families in the military is so important through retention. So thank you again for having me. And I look forward to continued conversations with you. I love this. You know, again, we'll have to talk about the Army-Navy game when it gets closer. But
I got one thing to add to your comments. Be respectful. You know, because if you see somebody that maybe doesn't look like you or has some kind of disability, be respectful.
They're people.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. They're people, and they're going to do great things, and we're going to ensure it through Partners in Promise that they can be independent, productive members of society. And so that's really what we want for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah, the other thing is the other thing I want to add to that is it's not about today. It's about 20, 30 years down the road. So these young adults, as they grow and develop, that's why I said be respectful, assist them, show them, teach them. It's just really important. So,
absolutely.
God bless you. God bless you. Well, hey, look here. I'm going to give you something today. And what we'd like to do is give you a small donation.
Oh, thank you. Now you're going to make me cry.
Well,
thank you.
I always cry when I talk about the subject. But we'd like to give you about $2,500.
Thank you, sir. That's so, so kind. I know you believe in our mission, and I know that you've been there and done that, and your family has given so much, and that means everything to us, you know, that people believe in what we're doing when the things, when it gets tough. And, you know, like you said, it's just, this is what society is like. And, you know, there are always going to be people with disabilities. We need to make sure that they are part of our community regardless. And so this really means a lot. Thank you so much.
Well, I wish it was more. I've tried to get through my tears. Every time I talk about my son, I always cry up and stuff like that. But it's an important subject. And God bless you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. Thanks to Michelle Norman from Partners in Promise. I'm Jack Dilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I can take it too. You can also visit our partners there who will provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also, visit our corporate partners. See all the jobs that are available for you. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I want to say that again because I always say it every week. I'm going to say it forever, I guess. Please know we want to assist you any way we can because we're just not here talking. We want to help you. We want to do what we can to help you. That's for sure. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels. I'm an old guy. Never thought I'd say that. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Michelle, and I know you have, if you didn't, there's something wrong with it. Please like us and click on that subscribe button. Don't forget, please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelly@yournextmission.org. Again, thanks again to Michelle Norman for being with us today. It's so important to talk about these issues. It was just really great having Governor on the podcast. And hopefully I get through this. I'm going to give you some final thoughts. You know, I was thinking as Michelle was talking, it's about life. It's about God. It's about believing in your fellow man and woman. So I'm going to tell you a story about my son. Hopefully I get through it. If I can't, we'll just cut and do whatever we got to do, and it'll come back tomorrow or something. But I have my oldest son, I told you a minute ago, had 20 to 30 convulsions a day. I had encephalitis, which is a coat and a pus over your brain. And he got all of that at 15 months old. Now think about that for a second. My life as a young adult at that age of my son, it's not about me, it's about him. It's at 15 months old, he got sick. And so he had the meningitis and we went through on a young couple and I'm trying to sort all this stuff out. And the seizures wouldn't go away. The other thing he couldn't do, he couldn't talk either. And so really, quite frankly, I thought he would die. Bad thing to say. But I thought he would die by the time he was 7 or 8 years old. And I was in Fort Lewis, Washington, and I was a fire tank gunner. You see, I never stopped being a soldier. I never stopped and I was up in Dank Gunnery, and my wife called me. She said, Jack, you got to come home. I said, what's wrong? She says, Brian's sick. And so I asked the first sergeant, can I go home? And yeah, sure, go. When I got there, I went right to Walter Reed Hospital. And I went and seen the doctor. I said, doctor, what's going to happen? He said, I don't know. Again, 15 to 20 seizures, can't control them. Not sure what's going to happen. On several kinds of different drugs, 3 or 4 different kinds of drugs that control the seizures, they won't stop. So I did what anybody else would do. I went into chaplain, and I got a chaplain. I sat down. I sat down, and I said, God, either let him live or let him die. Now think about that for a second. Either let him live or let him die. That's my son. It's not fair. But God selects us to do things that maybe sometimes we don't want to do. So I said, God, let him live or let him die. The next day, there was nothing wrong with him. Think about that for a second. It's about life. It's about God. It's about believing in yourself and making sure that you make a difference each and every day. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course our 4 presenting sponsors: Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military each and every day. And as always, see you on the high ground.
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.